connection with Lord's Day 42 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Our scripture reading is Psalm 24. So ating buksa ng ating mga Biblia sa mga awit 24. Awit ni David. Psalm 24. Ang lupa ay sa Panginoon at ang lahat ng narito, ang sanlibutan at silang naninirahan dito, sapagkat itinatag niya ito sa ibabaw ng mga dagat at itinayol sa ibabaw ng mga ilog. Sinong aakyat sa bundok ng Panginoon at sinong tatayo sa kanyang dakong banal? Siyang may malilinis na kamay at may pusong dalisay na hindi nagtataas ng kanyang kaluluwa sa hindi totoo at hindi sumusumpa na may panlilinang. Mula sa Panginoon, pagpapalay kanyang kakamtan at pagwawalang salam mula sa Diyos ng kanyang kaligtasan. Gayon ang salinlahi ng mga nagsisihanap sa kanya na nagsisihanap ng mukha ng Diyos ni Jacob. Itaas ninyo ang inyong mga ulo o kayong mga karangkalahan at kayo'y mataas kayong matatandang pintuan upang makapasok ang hari ng kaluwalhatian. Sino ang hari ng kaluwalhatian? Ang Panginoon, malakas at makapangyarihan, ang Panginoon makapangyarihan sa pakikipaglaban. Itaas ninyo ang inyong mga ulo o kayong mga tarangkahan at itaas kayo kayong matatandang pintuan upang makapasok ang hari ng kaluwalhatian. Sino itong hari ng kaluwalhatian? Ang Panginoon ng mga hukbo. Siya ang hari ng kaluwalhatian. It's on the basis of that passage of the Word of God, especially verses 1 and 2, that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 42. But let me read just verses 1 and 2 again. Ang lupa ay sa Panginoon at ang lahat ng narito, ang sanlibutan at silang naninirahan dito, sapagkat itinatag niya ito sa ibabaw ng mga dagat at itinayo sa ibabaw ng mga ilog. Now let's open our psalters, ating buksan ng ang psalters sa Heidelberg Catechism. Sa likod ng mga psalters, Lord's Day 42. You find that on page 23. Page 23 sa likod ng mga psalters. Tanong 110. What doth God forbid in the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment is, as you all know, these words, thou shalt not steal. Huwag kang magnanakaw. What does God forbid? God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weights, earls, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God, as also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. And then Tanong 111, but what doth God require in this commandment? Sagot, that I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further, also that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. The beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, sinasabi ng Diyos sa atin, huwag kang magnanakaw, thou shalt not steal. That's what God says to us in the eighth commandment. And therefore, the eighth commandment, as God calls us before his requirements, has something to say to us concerning our earthly lives. Kung calls sa ating relasyon sa panlupang mga bagay. In forbidding theft, the eighth commandment deals with our earthly possessions, and especially with the question or the matter of how we attain, how we get our earthly possessions. God says, thou shalt not steal. You may not attain any of your earthly possessions by means of theft. But even more broadly than that, the eighth commandment concerns all of the things that we have and what we do with the things that we have. The eighth commandment concerns our money, our savings, as well as our spending. The eighth commandment concerns our food, what we shall eat, concerns our clothing, concerns where we live, concerns our income, and concerns also our giving. A commandment tungkol sa ating relasyon sa panlupang mga bagay. God is interested in that aspect of your life and mine. If you or I ever think that God is only interested in our souls, or if you and I think that God is only interested in what we are doing on Sunday, then we are greatly mistaken. God is very interested in all of your life. God is interested not only in what you and I do in church, but also when we are working. God is interested not only in your spiritual life, the life of your soul, but God is also interested in your earthly life. God is concerned about your money and your possessions and your earthly cares. And that's why God gives us this commandment, huwag kang magnanakaw. So let's consider this word of God under the theme commanded concerning Christian stewardship. Commanded concerning Christian stewardship. And we'll notice three things, tatlong bagay. Una, the principle. Secondly, the practice. And pangatlo, the possibility. Commanded concerning Christian stewardship, the principle, the practice, and finally, the possibility. The society in which we live, the world of the ungodly, has a very distorted and a very unbiblical view concerning earthly things and concerning ownership of earthly things. The world in general does not acknowledge God, and the world in general does not consider God to be part of their lives, and certainly not part of their earthly lives and their earthly possessions. Either in their minds, God does not exist at all, walang Diyos, or in their minds, if God does exist, he's not really that interested in earthly things. And so the ungodly take the approach that Everything regarding their earthly lives is their own realm, their own matter of concern, and so on. And so what do the ungodly say about earthly things? What do the ungodly say about their earthly possessions? They say this: we are the owners of these things. I possess some things, you possess some things, and I can do what I want with the things that I possess, and you can do what you want with the things that you possess. And so with the things that I possess, I can use them the way I want. I can use them wisely, or I can waste them. I can even abuse the things that I have. Abuse them. And I can do that because they are my things, the ungodly say. And you can do the same. You can spend your money, or you can save your money. You can care for your earthly possessions, or you can abuse and waste your earthly possessions. You are free to do as you please with what you have, because it is yours, exclusively yours, and no one else can stop you from doing that. You can even do that with people that belong to you. You can abuse your wife, and you can abuse your children, the ungodly say, because you are Lord. You are the owner of all those things that you have in your possession and in your house. That's the approach of the ungodly. But the child of God has a fundamentally different starting point. And that's stated in the Heidelberg Catechism, in the last two words of question and answer 110. And I trust that you noticed those two words earlier. Those two words, his gifts. His gifts. The Catechism has just explained what we may do and may not do in relation to all our earthly possessions and all the earthly possessions of others, and then says to us, these are his gifts. Kanyang mga regalo. The gifts of God to us. And so the approach of the child of God is, everything that I have is not mine, but his. Everything that I have belongs to God. And the only reason I have it is because he gave it to me. He said, here, I have a gift for you. I give you money. I give you food. I give you clothing. I give you a wife. I give you a husband. I give you children. The gifts of God. As we heard even early this morning, as Job confessed that, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Because God is God, and God is the one who has the right to give, and the right to take away. We read of that too in Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, awit 24, verse 1, ang lupa ay sa Panginoon at ang lahat ng narito ang sanlibutan at silang naninirahan dito. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God owns the world. God possesses the universe and everything that is in it. The creation belongs to God. The land, the trees, the oceans, belong to God. The mountains are God's mountains. The countries of the world belong to God. The Philippines belongs to God. The USA belongs to God. The universe is the Lord's universe. And everything that you and I have in that universe belongs to God as well. Your farms, Mangabuke, belong to God. Your houses, Mangabahe, belong to God. Your clothing, Mangadamit, belongs to God. Your family, Mangapamilia, belong to God. Every creature, every animal, Nagaari ng Diyos ang lahat ng mga bagay. And why is that the case? Why is that true? Psalm 24 tells us why. Verse 2. Sapakat itinatag niya ito sa ibabaw ng mga dagat at itinayo sa ibabaw ng mga ilo. Why does everything belong to God? Because God created everything. Without Him it would not exist. He is the creator, and as the creator of everything in the universe and everything that you and I have in our possession, it all belongs to Him. Nag-aari ng Diyos ang lahat ng mga bagay. That, beloved, is the basic principle of the eighth commandment of the law of God. And if you and I forget that, that in itself means that we break the eighth commandment. If you and I fail to acknowledge that God owns everything, then we are guilty of stealing, breaking the commandment where God says, "Huwag kang magnanakaw." We have stolen. And all of this, beloved, tells us something about ourselves in relation to all the possessions that we have in this earthly life. And that is this: we are simply stewards. Mga katiwala lang. That's all that we are. Mga katiwala. Now, the idea of a steward is probably not so familiar to us, but certainly was in biblical times. And perhaps if you think about the Old Testament history, think back to Jacob and his family of 12 sons. Think too to when the son sold one of their brothers. He was sold as a slave into the land of Egypt. And there that brother, and you know who that is now, Joseph, there that brother was a steward in the house of Potiphar, and then later a steward of Pharaoh's kingdom. Joseph was a steward. There are three things, tatlong bagay tungkol isang katiwala. Three things concerning a steward. First of all, this: a steward owns nothing. Wala. Walang possessions. That's a steward. Ang katiwala ay walang pag-aari. He doesn't even own himself. He's a slave. And his own life belongs to his master. He has absolutely nothing that he can say, of which he can say, "This is mine." He owns nothing. If that's true of us, and it is, then you see, beloved, why it is wrong for us to say concerning our earthly possessions, "This is mine. And all that I have belongs solely to me. It's my house, my car, my cell phone, my computer, my family. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. We are slaves. As the Apostle Paul even says that in Galatians 1, verse 10. God owns not only everything out there, but he also has possession of us and of everything that we have in our hands and in our homes and in our life. Stewards who own nothing. And secondly, this is true of a steward. A steward is someone who simply manages and uses what has been given to him, but does so for the good of his master. Joseph, when he was a steward in the house of Potiphar, and Joseph, when he was steward in Pharaoh's kingdom, was not able to take what they gave him and use it for himself. He was employed by them. And so his purpose was never, how can I please myself with these things? What can I do with these things that Potiphar has given me or that Pharaoh has given me so that I can advance my pleasures in life and advance my cause in life and now set up my kingdom next to the kingdom of Pharaoh? He couldn't say that. But Joseph's one guiding principle in all his life as a steward in the house of Potiphar and then as a steward in the house of Pharaoh was simply this: how can I please my master? What can I do with the things that my master has given me so that his cause, his name, his kingdom, his riches, his honor, and his glory are advanced through everything that I do? A steward does not think about himself, but he thinks about his master. And that's true of us. We may not use what God has given to us simply for ourselves, for our own desires and wants and pleasures, but we are governed and we are to be governed with everything that God has given us by this question: what does God want me to do with this? How can I glorify God? How can I seek God first with everything that I possess? How can I seek first the kingdom of God? Not how can I take care of myself and my needs, and then if I have anything left, maybe I'll give some to God in the collections on Sunday. But how can I give to the Lord first? And then, as the Catechism mentions too, how can I give to relieve those who are poor and needy first, unam una, and then take care of myself and my family? Because if we don't do that, then we have stolen from God. From God. Then there's one more thing regarding a steward. First, a steward owns nothing. Second, a steward has to use what he has been given by his master for the good of his master. And now thirdly, a steward is someone who has to give an account to his master concerning what he has done with what his master has given him. For us, that means Judgment Day is coming. And for us, that means that God on the Judgment Day is going to hold us accountable for all his gifts. Kanyang mga regalo sa ate. And the question God will ask us is, what did you do with everything that I gave you in life? How did you use it? Did you use it well? Did you use it properly, or did you waste it? Did you use what I gave you to seek first my kingdom, or did you use it to seek first your own kingdom? Those are the principles that govern the Christian in contrast to the ungodly. Stewards, that's all we are. Manga katiwala laman. And so we face that question. What should we do with what God has given to us? Since it is His and not ours, how should we use it? What does God want me to do with what God has given to me? A gift from Him. Well, that is answered in the Heidelberg Catechism in question and answer 111. Notice that in question and answer 111. What does God require in this commandment? That I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. Dapat mong gamitin kung ano ang ibinigay sa iyo ng Diyos upang isulong ang ikabubuti ng iyong kapwa. Not how can I promote my own advantage and use it for myself, but how can I promote the advantage and welfare of my neighbor? How can I benefit him? And as the Catechism says, I have to work. And I have to work faithfully. And I have to work hard. Masipag is what must characterize the child of God. Not to get rich, not to build our own little kingdoms, but so we are able to relieve the needy. Tumulong sa mahihira. And that, of course, is, as we know well, very biblical. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And also Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Kaya't habang may pagkakataon, gumawa tayo ng mabuti sa lahat, lalong-lalo na sa mga kabilang sa sambahayan ng pananampalataya. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. The Lord gives us the opportunity and the Lord gives us the privilege to do these things every Lord's Day. Every linggo o araw ng Panginoon, every Sunday. We have in our worship service the collections that are taken, including the benevolence fund. And we are able, as part of our worship of God, as part of the expression of our praise to God, the expression of our thanksgiving to our faithful Heavenly Father for providing for us, for blessing us, and for blessing us in Christ Jesus, His Son, the opportunity and the privilege to give. And that's what believers do. Realizing God says, huwag kang magnanakaw. And realizing that if we do not give, we are stealing from the Lord, as the prophet Malachi spoke of that in Malachi chapter 3. Believers give gladly. Believers give eagerly. They consider it a privilege to seek the advantage and welfare of their fellow saints, their fellow believers, who are part of that one body of Jesus Christ, of which Mr. David Kriegel spoke briefly, Kanina. One body here, one body with all the people of God, all the faithful, and we're privileged to give, to help our fellow saints. What that implies, beloved, is that as believers who know that we have fellow believers who are needy, we need to look out for them, and we need to help them. The Word of God in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 is very pointed about that. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Ngunit kung ang sinuman ay hindi kumakalinga sa kanyang kamaganak, lalong-lalo na sa kanyang sariling sambahayan, tinangihan niya ang pananampalataya at siya'y masahol pa sa hindi mananampalataya. That is a very sharp word of God. If you do not provide for your own, and especially for those who are of your own house, you're not a believer. You're not living as a believer. And so we must do that. Provide for our family members. Help them. Help them. Help a family member who is in need. And that implies that if there is a family member who is in need, they should seek the help of their family members too. A principle, as we know from the instruction we've received and the work of our diaconates, that is part of the benevolence work. Family first helps family. And family that is in need seeks first the help of family members, the help from them. But when 1 Timothy 5:8 speaks of especially those of his own house, then we can apply that spiritually to the house of God. To the house of God. Because we all belong to the family of God. So we are called to give to support those who are in need in the family of God too. Through the benevolence giving. Dapat nating magbigay sa mga mahihirap, lalo na sa pamamagitan ng benevolence collection. And that's a privilege, an opportunity, an act of worship for us as people of God. And how is all of this possible? How is all of this possible? Well, the possibility is in Christ. He is our power to obey the eighth commandment. Christ who died to redeem us, and Christ who died to deliver us from the grip of Satan, and Christ who died and works in us by his Holy Spirit to deliver us also from the sin of the love of money, and to make us understand what Christ said when he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. And Christ who delivers us from our sinful selfishness as well. We have been liberated and made willing to give generously of what God has given to us, and to give to help those who are in need. Christ is the power by which we are able, through His Spirit, to obey this command of God. And Christ is also our example. He is our example as one who came to this earth and who suffered and who went to the cross. He is our example as one who became poor so that we might become rich, willing to be nothing, willing to have nothing, so that we might be rich in Him forever and forever. Mayama magpakailama. And so He is our example. Our example in giving. He gave Himself. He gave Himself to us. He gave Himself to suffer the wrath of God for us. He gave Himself to the eternal fires of hell, became poor, crushed under the wrath of God, so that we can be rich forever in the glories of heaven. Christ is not selfish. He owns all things. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And yet He gives and gives and gives. And He gives and gives and gives also in His sovereign rule over all things. He has now been exalted to the right hand of God. And from the right hand of God, if there is one thing that characterizes the Son of God in the position of highest honor, glory, and power in the universe, it is that He gives. He gives to us. He is always giving to us. Always giving every day and every hour, every minute and every second of your lives. Christ is giving, 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 giving. Giving us the earthly things that we need and giving us the spiritual riches of His grace and salvation, and thus always giving Himself. Again, Christ is not selfish, but He gives and He gives and He gives. What a powerful example to us. Thirdly, we may say this: Christ is more than just an example. He is the power that changes us. He is an example to us, but He also, by His power, motivates us to give. Being thankful for His salvation and its riches, being thankful that He gives and gives and gives, then we give. And we don't view it as a burden. We don't view it as a hardship, but as an opportunity to show gratitude to God. We have reason to be thankful, and thus reason to give. As good stewards of what God has given us, we use it for Him, also by giving for the sake of the people of God. And as we do that, we don't have to be afraid that we're going to starve. We don't have to be afraid that when struggles come our way, we're not going to be provided for, because God is our Father and He has put us in the family in which the other family members will care for us, and God will care for us through them, so that as we help those who are in need when they are needy, they will help us when we are in need. God, through Christ, will provide for His people in all of their struggles and needs. to give thanks to God. He is faithful, and He will supply, and He will care for us in all our days. Amen. Manalangin tayo. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for Thy word. We give thanks for Thy faithfulness. We give thanks for Christ, Thy Son, who gives and gives and gives. And may we be thankful for all of that and show our thanks in being good stewards of what Thou hast given to us, and use it first to seek Thee and the welfare of our fellow saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now worship the Lord our God with our offerings, and the offering is for missions. The offering for missions.